I've got at least 50 written complaints from residents, and it falls into two categories. Someone was allowed in and to their door without being screened. People without tags were let in. The gate's been left open at strange hours numerous times. Cars went into the South Gate recently without any, they weren't asked any questions. I think Alan reported that one. But to say that we are, to give the illusion that we have no problems, that we're fully staffed, and that we're more secure than we've ever been, is a red herring. It's fair to say that everyone's well-intended, but there's a very steep curve here, and I think many residents here, maybe even that are here this evening, can comment. But we're working towards being secure, and everyone's well-intended, but right now we are not as secure as we could be, and we are not as secure as we were when we had the traffic cards.
I'd like to comment on that. When I saw what was happening a year ago, traffic guards did not carry, when they had a uniform on, they didn't carry a pistol. So you had one out of the two people working there, one had a pistol, one did not. Traffic guards sometimes were college students on a summer job. You know, God bless you.
But gated communities throughout the country have booths, and they're generally not manned by police. And, you know, if you feel that the security requires bulletproof glass, but, you know, it's the one of the reasons we moved here was the gate and the ability to converse with that person and the ability to get directions. I understand that we are now in an environment where the police are being targeted in a way they have not historically. But I look all around the country, and I don't see people building fortresses at their front gates in gated communities.
Or arming them. I mean, when did we need armed guards at the gate? I mean, that was never the issue. It was when somebody showed up at your door that you didn't know who it was, or, you know, somebody breaking into your house and stealing your silver. It wasn't happening at the gate.
Well, Ms. Stebbins,
and you needed
the
gun.
Ms. Steele, the issue of having somebody not armed or at the gate is not an issue until it is an issue. And I think the world has changed.
Well, if there's bulletproof glass, then that defeats the point of having a gun, because what do? They can't open the gate.
They have a door. That's a good point. That's a good point. They have a door they can go out of and assist the other officer.
Go out.
Or if there's somebody inside the park, there's two people responding who are armed and not one person responding who's armed. You're asking me whether you're more safe now than you were a year ago? Yes, you are. You're much more safe now than you were a year ago.
Well, traffic guards.
That's your opinion. I don't think all of us feel that way.
Well, then I think you should go in, have a chat with the detective or the chief, and he'll explain to you in person, one-on-one, why that is the case.
Why can't we do that here in public?
Because we're not going to put it on the internet and have somebody punch holes
it's
through it.
It's just immediately put on the internet.
It's a red herring.
We have nothing to hide.
Yes,
yes. Gentlemen. Yes, Mr. Hanson.
So a couple of points. One is that I need to make some misunderstanding between the gate guards and the police officers and stuff. And from my experience in the past, staffing, I think that what the board is saying is I don't understand this, which is that we always had 2 to 3 people who were on the force, on duty anytime. So during the day, you had an officer and a traffic guard, and you had that basically all through the 3 shifts, the morning, the afternoon, and at night. And you also had a chief of police who was there for overlapping one of the shifts. So for part of the time, you had 2 officers for part of the day. What I think the board has done, which sounds to me like a very positive move, is that instead of having a traffic guard who could not respond if there's an emergency, versus a guard for the police officer could, that's a positive thing. Okay, so in other words, we haven't changed the staffing, all we've done is change the composition. So that's my first issue. I don't think that's a negative thing, it's a positive. I think, however, though, let's talk about the gate. The reason why people feel that they are less safe is because there is not the interaction with the police. The interaction with the police is a very positive thing about this community. But I will tell you right now, Mr. Stebbins, excuse me, I'm in a discussion right now. You said to me when I was on board. So, I recently had a loaner car, and so I had a little fun, and I know that if I say that I am Pierre Lorillard, I'm allowed in, and if I say I'm George F. Baker, I'm allowed in, and Ted Nugent, who is a rock singer, is allowed in, okay? Just for the fun of it with my kids. And the reason is because, you know, the no offense to the officers, they can't sing, they don't know what it is. And so you just say a name, in you go. All right, so that's why the residents here feel they are less secure. So let me back up a second, which is that we have, here in Tuxedo Park, a unique asset, a unique privilege, which is that we're the only, and we'll only, we'll never be duplicated again, we're the only public village that has restricted roads. That will never happen again. We're very lucky because we were able to sort of uphold that in federal court. There are other communities that, of course, have police forces, but they're not gated. Their roads are not restricted. And other communities that are gated, but they're private and do not have a police force. So we have a, full effect police force. What we also have, which is extremely rare, and police officers understand the difficulty of policing and the Fourth Amendment, we have the ability to stop every single person who comes into the community. There's no other community anywhere that can do that. Okay? You cannot just stop people on the road in the United States. But since we have restricted roads, we have the ability to uphold that law. And that is an extremely valuable asset. In fact, it is a priceless asset for us. And what that does with the guard booth is it enables our guard booth or police booth to have a guard or an officer in the booth stopping people coming in. Probably the most important value of that, which we don't understand as residents, is the deterrent effect. We all know who the police officers are. We drive up, we get let in, okay? But for anybody else who's driving into this village, they are looking at a police officer and they believe that a police officer has looked at them and recognized their face. And that is such a huge deterrent to crime. So, I sent a letter to the board recently, the other day, which is think about the delivery person who drives in and comes to your house, right? They know where you live, they know what your house is, they know where the front door is, they know where the back door is, they come into your kitchen, they've seen everything, they know how you live, right? And they go tip off their friend, hey, this person's got a bunch of flat screen TVs and, expensive stuff. There's a house that you should go rob. And don't believe it doesn't happen in other communities. The issue is they're not going to say it, they're not going to do it themselves if they know that they have to look at a police officer when they come in through the gate. That's the advantage of having the booth. The camera, we may see, the officers may see that person very clearly with high definition camera. But the person driving in doesn't really have that same effect of looking a police officer in the eye and realizing, well, I'm going to come back here late at night. Huge, huge value. The other value is that it gives the ability for the police to know us and for us to know the police. Right? I know Officer Tabak. I just met the chief of police this evening. I never met him before. I don't think you know who I am, right? Because you haven't met me. Because you have no chance to be in the booth. And even if you're in there for an hour a day or 20 minutes a day, you drive in, hello, I say hello to Officer Tabak or Denise, and then I can say hello to Chief Hugh and I can meet you. So that ability for me to know the police, okay, and for the police to know us, to know my spouse, to know our kids, is another thing which is invaluable. So that's the reason why I think people want a booth back. One final thing, I'm not an expert on security, right, but I would say that for, police officers who want to come work here, they have choices where they can come work. One, they can sit in the booth, they're armed, right? Does it have to be bulletproof glass? Maybe it does nowadays. I would rather sit in a booth and I get a Tuxedo Park and, for example, have the A-line in Newburgh. All right, there's just the different levels of risks that are involved. And I know that if I get in a car and drive somewhere, someone can shoot me, in the car, which has happened in a bunch of places. So I understand the risks we have to look at, but, if you think that sitting in a police booth is too risky a job, then there are other jobs you can take, right? There's
Thank you. Yes.
Stuart McGregor, and I'm not going to belabor it because he mentioned some comments, but it just brings to mind, I came here tonight because I'm a property owner here, been a property owner for 20 years, was born and raised here, so actually I was here before there was a booth, and here when there was a booth, and now here again when there is no booth, and we're here from June until the middle of October. I live in Florida. I live in a community in Florida where we do have security, and I live in a condominium where there is additional security, and it seems to me we get caught up here, and I appreciate everything that the board has done, not only this board, but the previous board, in putting all this together. And when I took the survey, there was one concern that I just wanted to bring to the board's attention, and that is, I understand that there are people that live here, have their residence sticker. I do have residence stickers on two of my cars that I keep here. I don't have a residence sticker on the car from Florida because it's a new Mercedes, and I don't want to put holes in the front because in Florida we only need a tag in the back because we don't want to give the police too much help. So we only have one tag. And every time I come up to the gate, I'm stopped. There hasn't been a time when the gate has been opened. I'm stopped. They ask me who I am. I know they're checking the computer to see if there's a McGregor, and I open the gate and they let me through, and I don't mind. I remember when I could talk to Denise and say, what kind of a day are you having, Denise? Or, we saw a bear up on the hill or whatever the case may be, so you had that communication. Two subjects, and very quickly, because I think you've covered most of it, but one is, there is now, we all use Skype and FaceTime in order to communicate with our families and our children, our grandchildren. And I always think when I come up to that booth, as I did today, and he says, may I help you? And I say, McGregor, it would be great if there was a screen, if it was a Skype or a FaceTime. I can see my police officer, and he can see me. And I can say, once I get to know him, hey, John, how you doing? It's McGregor. And he'll get to recognize me as well, even though I may not have the tag. If I have the tag, of course, there's no problem. Unless I want to stop, even when the gate goes up, and like press the button and say, hi, John, how you doing? By the way, there's a bear on the road. So from a perspective of that booth in the middle, I wonder if it provides any more security than the fact that we have now renovated the keep, which was the old days where they sat. But if you can see them with modern technology, is there a reason to build this new booth? The second point is another point that was made and has always concerned me. In terms of security, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with being a resident here. And it used to be that if I had guests coming to see me, I would contact the gate and tell them that I'm expecting so-and-so on Saturday somewhere between 12 and 4. And they would make that note, so when that person came, they would be allowed in. In my building, and being an attorney, I can tell you right now that there's nothing that anyone wants when suddenly a process server shows up and says, McGregor, because you can go on Google or anything else, and they're going to know where I live. I don't want a process server coming to my door. I think at the last meeting, I had Gary Popan or someone mentioned that you know, he's had guests show up at his door when he's not expecting them. And so I think there's a responsibility that we should all have to alert the gate when someone is coming to see us. And in the old days, I can remember when people would call, the gate would call and say, so-and-so is here, and people would say, no, don't want him in, don't want to have him in. So those are, to me, it breaks into two comments. The safety of the police, I think, is taken care of, but the privacy and security of the people, we have a responsibility to make sure that people don't get in that shouldn't be in. And second, I wonder with modern technology, if we can have that face-to-face, as you say, when I pull up and a policeman's looking at me, and I'm looking at him on a screen, If I'm a bad guy, I know that he's got a really good look at me, and he's not going to let me in. So anyway, I want to get that out.
Thank
I'm
you
not
so
full
much.
Time.
Thank you.
Can I say something here?
Sure.
I think the crux of the argument is, do we want to have a police force that's armed and that protects us, or do we want to have a concierge service? Hold on a second. I spent a lot of time at the police station at the Keep, and this morning I was there at 8:30, and phone rings, and the police officer picked up the phone, and I could hear the other side. The person said, "Oh, you know, my cable box just broke. Can you call the cable company for me?" And he said, "No, I'm a policeman. I can't do that. You have to call yourself." The person started cursing. You know, he had to hold the phone out to hear. And then he said, "You know, you have to call the cable company yourself." And then he put down the phone. And I said, "Does that happen often?" He said, "About 10% of the residents treat us as their concierge. And they curse us out when we don't do the things." Now, we have to determine, do we want a concierge service or do we want a police force? That's something that we all have to determine. We can provide for you a concierge service if that's what you want. But if you want a police force, then we have to provide you a police force and treat them accordingly.